And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Yeah, baby, it's the Big D and Bubba Podcast, brought to you by Guitar Center, where all they sell is the greatest feeling on earth. Boom, Guitar Center. Yo, that's what's up.
I like Guitar Center. Guitar Center is one of those places you walk in, you're just like, and like, I don't play anything, but I still like to go in there and just walk around and just be around all that whole environment.
You know what I love doing? I love going over to the keyboards, and you walk in and you go, bling, 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 bling. And you start playing like just like things your kids would play, and then somebody serious walks up, so they decide to sit down and they like press the little button on the floor, which we don't even know what it does. It's like some little thing, and then all of a sudden they're like, you know,
that's cheating.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's cool. They do have a great. That's where I got Zach. Zach wanted to. You know, your kids get to a certain age where they. You lose them. I mean, they are connected to their.
We went through it. They're gone through. They're going to go through it.
Yeah, well, they have their headphones on and they'll listen to music and whatnot. And Zach went through that. Well, has been going through about a year or so. But I bought him. I said, man, what kind of headphones you got here, man? And he's like, I don't know. They're just some kind of cheap stuff. And I go, let me get you some good ones. So I went to Guitar Center and they had a rack of like. Whoa, geez, I don't know, 30 different pairs
of headphones.
Yeah, and they're like on a carousel where they kind of rotate, or you walk around them, or something.
Can you try them on like,
every one of them? Yeah, they're all playing this. They're all connected, and they're here. You're from the same source. Oh. So I would just go, and I can tell immediately if they're if I like them or not. So I put them on. Yep. Nope. Yes. Nope. Yes. Nope. Until I got the ones I thought was perfect, and I said these, and got those for them, and. That made all the difference. I go, listen,
is there anything,
trust me, these are better than what you're using.
Is there anything worse than a terrible pair of headphones? Like, I bought some earbuds. My other ones broke because, I travel a lot, and I'm always, when I sleep on the plane, I have a sleep playlist and everything. So, like, I put these cheap ones in. First of all, they were too big for my ear hole. Mm-hmm. And they were like giving me like a
headache inside your
yes,
head.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And then the music was it just was terrible.
Yeah, remember when I think it was Apple came out with the first one, so they were like they kind of slipped it just right inside. They were kind of the
I never liked the Apple.
I don't
ear
either.
Things.
I don't either. I don't like them at all. They almost
look
like
Stacy loves
mint.
Them. Stacy's like loves them. Mm-mm. But she can't run with them. She runs, they come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when I run like last time you ran.
Me? I tried not too long ago. I'm just, I've been having those hamstring issues during softball season. So I haven't done anything throughout the entire summer thinking, okay, my hamstrings will heal up nice. And then I tried running a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I was just going to jog in the neighborhood just to kind of loosen it up.
Yeah.
Man, I felt terrible. I just felt bad. I'm not in good shape anymore.
I see people running, coming into work. There are people jogging and whatnot.
Like, and it's dark.
It's dark. They have lights on, and they look like they're
reflective tape.
Yeah, they've got like a coal miner gear on. They got black lung, and they're just running it. And I'm like, who? Can you imagine? I mean, it's hard to wake up anyway. Okay, but can you imagine waking up and then going, oh, but if I get up, I get to go. I get to go run.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in every day.
There's a lot of people who do that, man.
A lot. And then you got the people who ride their bikes.
Oh, cyclists. Look, I got a buddy of mine. He does triathlons, and he is a heavy, big-time cycler. And he's in phenomenal shape. But I tell him, I'm like, dude, please pass it on to your buddies. Pass the law. I mean, obey the laws. I get so mad when all these people are like, it's 3 foot. You got to go 3 feet around us, in traffic.
Cause as they bolt through a stop sign.
Exactly. It's almost a given that they're going to run a stop sign. And
my favorite,
I get mad. I pull out my cell phone and I videotape them.
Okay.
I do.
You lost me there.
I filmed them. I'm like, go ahead and run this one. And I'll tweet it, everyone. When I do catch them, okay. I'll tweet it. I'm like, stop at the stop sign and I'll give you your 3 feet.
Don't be that guy.
I am that guy. It irks me so bad. If you want me to give you your 3 feet and you want to say, oh, we have the same rights on the road, well, then follow the same rules I have to follow. I get so, so agitated by that.
You know, my favorite, you know, I don't know what maybe think of this. I'm trying to teach Zach little tips of driving because he's going to start driver's ed this year.
Are you giving him tips while you're driving around? Oh, now look.
Yeah, now here's something you do. And I'm like, yeah. I go, okay, here's a great tip. If you're in town and you have a lot of things on corners, like gas stations in particular, I said, here's a classic move, all right? Pulling up, you want to go turn right, okay? But it's really backed up, and you have to wait in line and wait for the arrow. What you do is you pull up and you go right through the parking lot
of the gas station.
Now, back out onto the other road, take a right and go.
This is illegal, but
the other good one is my dad taught me this.
That is illegal, by the way. It's avoiding a stoplight thing.
Yeah, you know how easy that is to get out.
I changed my mind. I was gonna get gas. I changed my mind.
I was like, nah. You know what? Yeah, I'm good. Okay.
That's my prepared statement I always have whenever when I know inevitably one day they're going to pull me over, I'm ready with, I changed my mind.
Yeah, how are you going to give
or
me
I
that?
Realized
is
that
it
I
illegal
didn't
to change my mind?
I didn't have enough time. I realized I didn't have enough time. There's too many people here. Yeah. There's nobody here. There was.
The voices told me not to use this one. the other one is when you're driving and you
can
know
you
that,
hold my beer.
If you know that it's going to be a red light and you're not going to make it, don't get on the gas and go really fast up to it and then slam on the brake. I said, let off the gas and just coast because you're going to have to stop anyway.
Yeah. And people get so mad. I do that too. And I start coasting from like a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to catch it. I could just feel it.
If you just kind of let it hang back.
And people get mad.
And it turns and you're like, whoa.
Are you a speeder from the stoplight?
Yeah, well, yeah. Because I don't want to be behind someone. It depends. If I look over and I see someone, and especially if it's going to go down to one lane ahead of us, I'll kind of look and I'll be like, oh, I don't want to be behind that person because they look slow.
I do that. I'll pull up whenever it's like a two lane going down to, or like a four lane going down to a two lane, and I'm in one of the lanes, even if I'm in the right, because I know, I understand when you're in the right, you're supposed to be the slow vehicle and you're not supposed to pass. But I'll be at a stoplight and I'll pull up as slow as possible and then I'll stand back from the line because I want to trick them into thinking I'm passive.
Mm-hmm.
So I pull up to the light and I'll stop well short of where it is so they're in front.
Yeah.
So they don't think that I'm about to floor it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way I get the jump on them. It goes green. I'm like, wah!
Yeah, I can handle
it. And then I get in front of them and they're like, ooh, that man, he tricked me.
I've been fooled.
Fool?
That fool fooled me. Yeah, that's a good one. I also like when you're kind of rolling up there, you kind of just slowly, just a creep, just moving, and then hit it, boom, and then you hit it. Yeah. That's the best. Until you get somebody who's just like you, and then you get into a race.
Which is always kind of fun.
It happens.
It does happen. It's like a little standoff.
We can't shoot each other in the street anymore, so that's how men, that's how we get out of our system.
We pull up to the stoplight next to another dude. Oh, remember that one guy? Now, this is on my way to work one day. Now, when I come to work, there's nobody on the road, and I'm driving, I'm doing maybe 9 miles per hour over the speed limit. But remember, there's nobody on the road with me. So this guy comes up on me real fast in a pickup truck. Remember that? I told you I was so mad. This guy comes up right up on me on my pickup truck and he gets to the stoplight and he rolls his window down and he starts fussing at me for driving too fast. I'm like, dude, you just drove 20 miles over the speed limit to catch up to me.
Stuff was falling off your car. You're driving so fast to get up to me.
And then he looked at me, and I guess I had a hat on. It was, I forget what it was. I think it was an NRA hat or something like that. You like guns? And I went, yeah. Yeah, I see your gun hat on.
What kind of kook were you driving next
I don't know. And I'm like, yeah. Cool, it's green. Go.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not more road rage.
There are way too many crazy people out there, and they're stupid. You say there's not enough. There's a lot of road rage. I see it all the time. I used to road rage. Even up to four or five years ago, I used to road rage a lot.
Patrick's the worst at road rage. You ever driven with him?
No.
It's bad.
Yeah. Now, I will cuss people out. I'm that guy. I'm like my dad now, where I'm just in the front seat and I'm going, hey, I'm flim flarmin, flingin flarmin. You know, I'll cuss them out or go, I'll call people stupid all the time. And so, like, my son the other day, somebody cut us off and he goes, stupid driver.
Nice.
I'm like, wow.
Learning young.
See, he's ready to drive now. He understands.
Yeah. You also get to a certain point, you start driving with your parents, and, you know, my dad is. You know, they think that they are...
I won't drive with my dad.
Oh, I've been driving a long time. I know what I'm doing. No, you've been driving too long, and you don't know what you're doing at all anymore.
Yeah.
And he's... Is your dad Mr. Fast or, like,
my dad
slow?
Is Mr. Fast, and he always waits till the last second to step on the brakes on his old Lincoln, which are so mushy to begin with. So he's like...
All that weight. The big Lincoln trying to slow down.
Some 6,000-pound car trying to slow down with mushy brakes. Yeah, that's brilliant, Dad.
I guess it's best that my dad drives so slow, but he's so slow that he's dangerous. And, you know, I'm like, hey. And then if he has to follow you somewhere, oh, when you finally get to the restaurant, he's like, jeez.
What are you in a hurry for?
Well, it's hard to keep up with you. I'm surprised you didn't get 4 tickets on the way here.
You think they're going to run out of food?
That's the best. I'm pretty sure every father is the same.
Well, they have two. They have two flavors. They have slow dad and fast dad. And that's pretty much how it goes. There's no in-between dad.
I think I'm going to be slow dad.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'm transforming into slow dad. I know that's really crazy because I live my life and I think for most of my life since you've known me, I've had sports cars of some flavor. Yeah. And I'm getting to where I want a mushy car. I want a car that's comfy and just a cruiser. I'm getting into that point of my life, I think.
Hey, what is your what's your email address? I'm gonna see if you're on this Ashley Madison sting. What do you go by? What's a good email that you don't give out to a lot of people?
Could you imagine?
I went through and I couldn't think. I was gonna see if I could find people I knew, but
nobody has email anymore.
Well, yeah. Well, they do, but it's just that I didn't know. Because here's what I'm thinking. Well, I know, like, dude's email address, but, like, who would use their regular email address? Like, the ones I have are, like, so-and-so name dot so-and-so at insert company here.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm thinking, oh, well, they wouldn't do it. So I didn't even try. I did try one. Turn the microphone, I'll tell you who.
Really?
Yeah, I figured if anyone, it would be him.
He wouldn't
there.
Have been on that one.
He wasn't.
He doesn't like girls.
That was part of my research.
Oh, you know what? Did it go? I mean, could you do that?
I don't know. I don't think it's
I
not.
Think, I think it does. I think it goes
it's not
all
David
that.
Madison.
I think it is, though. I think you can do any of that.
Oh, really?
I would assume.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess this guy had to have a good front name. Ashley Madison, which is a pretty, isn't Ashley Madison kind of a sexy name? It is kind of a sexy
Sounds
name.
Sounds like a stripper name.
No, it doesn't, no.
And up on the main stage, Ashley Madison. Okay, and, make sure
does, when you do that, it does, yes. Yes, it does. With Bon Jovi playing in the background.
Get your ones out, everybody. Here we come, Ashley Madison taken to the main stage.
Anyway, that's crazy.
I don't know how I that's what I would assume they sound like.
I wouldn't know. You would know. You would know.
It's been a long time.
These are great stories of Patrick when he back in the day. That's what he did. He got kind of got hoodwinked into that job. Apparently, he thought it was going to be great, and he said it was terrible.
Like the girls were.
Well, you know,
haters.
Yes. It's very, and it's you know,
catfight.
Yes,
every night.
Yes. He said it's always drama. They're really witchy. They're just everyone's just. Yeah, no kidding. But, you know, I guess he thought it was going to be the whole...
Like the fantasy?
the illusion that they sell. I guess he thought it was going to be that for him. But I think once you work there, you're just one of the girls. So, anyway.
Hmm.
What else went on this week? What
did we do? I don't even know what we did on
this show. This week went by so fast.
We had
and we got to travel this weekend, so it's gonna. I'm gonna miss another game. I'm missing another football.
Another football game. Coach never goes to the games. How are you gonna be a coach? And you know what, Frankie? And I'm gonna go back to this because we were talking about. You asked me the other day if Frankie was gonna play any baseball in the fall, and I said, no, he really doesn't want to. And the reason he's not, more than anything else, is because I didn't push him to play. And the reason I didn't push him to play is because I know what our travel schedule is. I would miss just about, what, 3 games a month? And they play, you know, they always play on Saturdays.
Well, they played in the week, too.
Yeah, but I would miss at least 3 every month, sometimes more. Plus, I don't know what night they play their night games, and I've got my fall softball and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sorry, mine comes first.
Hey, you're champs.
That's right. We are the champs. Reigning champs. Defending champs. No, but on top of it, I look at it like this. They get to do all the fun stuff. Dad just has one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every spring, every fall, I play softball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my time is going to run out. I'm not going to be able to play softball forever.
Right.
So while I can, stay out of my way. I'm going to get out there.
I don't have any problem with that.
Sorry, kid.
Do what you want to do.
I love you. Come watch me play, just like I would watch you play when it's your turn.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes basketball season and Frankie's out there, because he's definitely playing basketball, he's so excited about it, I will be there rooting him on. I'll probably be an assistant coach, because that part of our travel schedule isn't too bad.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick. We were talking earlier about you and your old days of working in the adult dancing club.
And how it seemed like it was
a
great idea.
That's supposed to be a secret.
Oh,
well.
Yes.
Supposed to be.
And my mom doesn't know that.
Your mom's not listening to the podcast. You think your mom's listening to the podcast?
I don't know. Sometimes she does.
No, she doesn't.
I was like 19 years old. Thanks for telling my story.
You were 19. That was, you know, just a couple years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Man, yeah, you guys keep secrets real good.
I didn't know it was a secret.
I thought
talked about it.
No. Have we never talked about that? Never.
Oh, my bad, man.
Yeah, well, on the podcast, we assumed.
There is a real bro code, though, isn't there?
Here's how deep the bro code is. I called, I'm 19 years old, called my dad. I'm like, look, I don't know what y'all said because I was listening to something else.
Oh, we just talking about how you got there. You kind of get hoodwinked into it. It wasn't what you thought it was going
to
be.
Well, the guy called, a buddy of ours says, look, I got offered to do this job.
Buddy of ours?
Yeah.
We used to work with him.
Yeah, he was a DJ on the side.
Who's that?
It's Rick. Rick. Yeah, Rick was a DJ. He says, look, I know a guy who owns this club. He asked me if I would do this, but I can't. I have too much work. He goes, do you want to do it? It's part-time.
By work, he meant girlfriends.
No, he was.
Rick had way too many girlfriends.
But he was also a DJ, okay? And he couldn't take this job because it interfered with other jobs. So it's a backup to the regular people. There was a regular weekday guy and a regular weekend guy. You just fill in whenever they need somebody to cover for one of them.
And you're thinking, I'm 19?
I'm 19. 6 hours. You work 6 hours. It paid like $120. It was like $20 an hour when I was making like $8, you know, or less. So I'm like, heck yeah, I'll do that. $20 an hour. And my job is to play music.
While these girls
and ladies
dance
are gonna
around.
Dance around. This is a horrible job, you know. So
what happened? Why was it so terrible?
I was sitting there, but wait, hold on. Here's the bro code part. I'm sitting here thinking, I can't do this without telling my dad because I'm 19. He still does my taxes for me. I'm gonna have to report this. He's gonna see that I had a job working. So I call up my dad, I'm like, look, I got offered this thing, and it's kind of shady, but I'm only gonna do it a couple of times a month, and it's gonna pay like $120 every time. And he goes, well, don't tell your mother.
That's right.
That's how deep it is. Don't tell your mother. He's like, that's good money. Go ahead and do it.
She doesn't know. Do
yeah, man. Unless he told her and didn't tell me.
He told her.
I'm sure he did.
He told her.
And he laughed.
It was awful.
And she laughed.
It was so awful.
Yeah, it's icky. Isn't it?
It was.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but yeah.
I don't like that thing. I just don't, you know. I don't have a problem with naked women.
Patrick has
a problem.
Here's Patrick's problem. Patrick has a problem with, and it's a really deep thing with you. You have a problem with women, you thinking that they are putting on an act.
Oh, I hate it. And there is no place in the world where someone acts more than in that
world
place. Because that's their job. Their job is to make you think they like you. So you give them more money.
Do you feel that sometimes with like record people, like when they come in?
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, that part, I understand it. And I'm not there. And if I know it's going on, it's fine. The problem I have with the with a girly bar is that let me put it to you this way.
How did you completely make it
something
sound gay?
Because I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't know what I'm going to say. Strip club? What do you want me to say?
I like girly bar.
Right, my grandpa would call it a girly bar.
That's a fresh take on it.
Yeah. It's like the 1950s or late 40s. And you go, well, we're going to head on down to the girly bar. You know, that's what they all the dames
down to the girly bar, Shane.
Yeah, they got some good looking dames down there at the girly bar.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway, when there's if you think of all people as 100%, 80% of dudes can just go in there and they know it's an act or they just don't care and they have a good time. Then there's the poor 10% on one end that fall for it, that believe that the women actually are into them. Yeah. And then there's the other 10% on the other end that's me, where I can't get over it. Like, I know it's all an act and it makes it all feel
dirty.
Because it is dirty.
Because it is dirty. Exactly. Most guys can just go in there for a couple hours and like, yeah, I get it. They're flirting with me because they want me to give them more money. I don't care. You know?
You can't do that.
I can't just... It takes all the fun out of it. It's, if they didn't come up and talk to you and try to get you to, you know, do all this other stuff, that'd be fine. If they were just women dancing on a stage naked, that sounds fun. You know, but that's not how it goes. Maybe in parts of Vegas, that's how it goes. I don't know, but that's not how it goes. You know? I know this, in France at Le Moulin Rouge, they just dance on the stage. We went and it was very artsy. There was more women there than men because it's the Moulin Rouge. They made a movie about it, right? But in reality, it's just a bunch of women without clothes on dancing. And that was entertaining.
Never saw that movie, Moulin Rouge.
That was Chicago?
No, Moulin Rouge.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
Was that Chicago?
I don't know. I thought it was a little musical. I'm like, is that the same thing?
No, yeah, it's a musical. Moulin Rouge.
Oh, there's two different things?
Was like...
I'm big on musicals.
A huge movie that made like, $300 million
in
the box office.
Who's in it?
Shakira?
No.
I'll watch it if Shakira's in it.
Nicole Kidman is in it.
Yeah. Somebody else is in it.
And no, Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor are in...
And Renee
Moulin
Zellweger.
Rouge. No, that's Chicago. Why are we testing my straightness by making me correct
that? Oh,
you?
He's on to us now. All right, boys, the gig's up. He's on to us. Eh?
All right. I never saw Moulin Rouge until about a year ago. I was dating this girl, 2 years ago. I was dating this girl who told me it was her favorite movie. I was like, all right, I'm going to check this out and see how bad it actually is.
And loved it. Fell in love with it.
No, it's sad. It ends sad. I didn't like it at all.
I don't like movies that end bad. I don't. I want them to be predictable. I hate the ones where they get so artsy, where they're like, "Well, it's gonna be." You think it's gonna happen, but it's not. We're gonna be so artsy that we're just gonna kill everyone, and then the guy who's the bad guy, he's gonna live.
Gonna be fine.
Yeah, he's gonna go to Disney.
That's not what we want.
We don't want that.
No.
I want it to be predictable, and I want to know what's gonna happen.
I like a surprise twist, but I still want things to work out.
It's gotta work out.
Not the M. Night Shyamalan's ending.
No, listen, Shyamalan Ding Dong.
No, don't like that. I really don't.
I'll tell you one that threw me, and I know maybe this seems silly, but Shawshank. I still remember the first time I saw Shawshank. It threw me at the end. At the end, it was a really nice twist, and I'm like, oh, this is fantastic.
What's the twist?
I don't want to give out the spoiler alert.
It's 30 years old. Okay, I think we can give out the twist.
The thing about Shawshank that makes it great is every time you see it, you feel that way that you felt the first time watching it.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, it's really, that's
Poor
not really
Randy's
what's going on.
Out in the yard getting hard to hear. Randy.
The best. It's one of the best movies ever.
It really is.
I'm not
is.
Even sure why. Like,
seriously.
Shawshank. Okay, in the beginning of the movie, Andy's wife is killed, and she was with this other guy.
Here's the twist. The twist is you don't know he's digging a hole out of the cell. You don't know. They
you
never
know
tell
it the you. Entire movie.
You
don't
know it the entire movie. And you know it now when you watch it that the whole time he's still. But you don't know until the end of the movie that secretly. Andy's been breaking out
like
of the prison.
All of these things,
for
all of
years.
These things he's wanted to do, he's done. Like, you know, he made chess pieces for the warden or for them to pass the time. He did the warden's taxes. All these things he did to position himself for 30 years later for him to escape from jail.
And you have no idea until Red narrates what happens after it's done. Even after you realize he's out, you go, whoa. The first time you're like,
how did he get out?
What the heck? And then Red tells you everything he did, right down to stealing the warden's shoes.
Did you not see the movie, D?
Yeah, 15 years ago. I don't remember. All I remember is him
stealing the warden's shoes was a nice touch.
What was that for?
So he'd have clean shoes. He stole his whole suit.
He could go into the bank and take all the money out.
Yeah, he walked into the bank with freshly shined shoes and a suit.
He was a man that nobody ever had a face for until then.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, because he did the books, right?
Yeah.
And so he kept putting money away.
It was his name that matched the signature of the guy that didn't exist, that all the money was saved for. So he walked away with like $300,000.
And they went to the island?
Which it was $300,000.
San Juan Teneo in Mexico.
Yeah, it was $300,000 back then, yeah. Which was like the 40s or 50s or something.
Like, wait, is that a true story?
No, it's not a true story.
But it's a great story.
It's a great story.
And then Red joins him?
Yes. And you know, when Red finally gets parole, he meets him. He goes to the rock wall that he told him about, you know. And then
yes.
And
he goes to Guantanamo.
And he's in there. And what's in the? There's a message.
The message from him, tell him how to get there with some money to take the bus and the whole thing. He left it for him. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And you know who wrote that story?
Who?
Stephen King.
Really?
Stephen King wrote Shawshank Redemption.
I love Stephen King's stuff.
There's a short story that he wrote.
That was a short story?
It was a short story.
Wow.
Well, it's not And, I mean, who knew?
I finished the Dark Tower series finally. That was long.
Wow, yeah.
That was very long.
I'm finishing up Under the Dome that he did.
Is it good?
Yeah, well, it gets weird.
I don't like scary stuff. That's why I was a little hesitant.
It's not scary. This is not scary.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's why I was hesitant about getting into the Dark Tower thing. And then I started reading it, and I'm like, this is actually really good. Not scary at all, and good. And like from what I understand, because I don't know his other books, a lot of the characters in the Dark Tower books are characters in his other books. And the weird thing is as you get later into the series, Stephen King himself becomes a character in the book. It's real weird, but it's entertaining. It's good.
Never was into Stephen King outside of Shawshank. I don't like scary stuff. I really don't. I don't like scary movies. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like when he hides behind the wall and yells boo.
I don't even like trailers on TV when I'm watching TV.
Nope.
And they're like, show you the commercial.
I turn the sound off and close my eyes. Count to 30. I'm serious. I don't watch that stuff.
And then you got to make noise, too. You cover your ears, turn the sound off, close.
I can't hear you.
What's the scariest you guys have ever been? Like truly, truly scared.
Oh,
not a startled. A real fear.
The most fear I ever felt, it was on a decompression dive. I told you about this. When I thought, you know what, this is it. This is how it ends. I was on a decompression dive. You can't go anywhere because you have to stay at certain atmospheres before you go up the next 15 feet. And it was on a shore dive, so I could only swim parallel to the shore. I couldn't go in. And we were being shadowed by a really big, it's off the coast of Guam, by a really big barracuda. This thing had to have been 5.5-6 foot long. I'd never seen one that big. I didn't know barracuda got that big because, you know, when I see them, they're always like, you know, 3 foot at the most. Most of them are about 2 foot. This thing was a giant, and they move like lightning, and they're very aggressive. So a barracuda, you think, if it wants to attack, it will, and when it does, there's nothing you can do about it because it's already over before it happened. And my buddy and I, he was a rescue swimmer. I tapped on my tank with my knife, and I'm like, dude, look at that. And he's like, oh, crap. So we sat there, and this thing swam with us for a good 20 minutes or so, and he just followed us maybe about 10, 15 feet away. And every once in a while, he would kind of dart away, and then he'd come back, and he just followed us. And I kept thinking, you know, it's like a tiger chasing you in the woods. At any given moment, when he decides, okay, I'm ready, it's over. And at some point, he just broke off and went away. But, I mean, it was, I thought, I'm done. This is it.
That was the scariest. What's the scariest you ever been?
When I was 14, we were on a hunting trip for a whole weekend with a bunch of guys my dad worked with and all their kids. And I was 14, one of the other guys was 15, and all the other kids were 12 or younger. So at one point, they let us go fishing by ourselves in one of the little trolling boats. And it might have been as big as two of these stools together, just this little bitty boat. And we saw two little alligators in the Louisiana swamp. One, I mean, maybe 2.5-3 feet, little bitty ones. And we're like, oh, look, little alligators. And as soon as those words came out of our mouth, we saw the mama.
Mm-mm.
And I've never seen a bigger gator in a zoo, in a picture, I've never seen one bigger than that one was. It was 16, 17 feet if it was an inch.
Jeez.
It was twice as big as the boat we were in, and it rolled out of that water and flopped that tail. Oh, my God, that panic moment where—
How big? You said 16 or 17?
Feet. Nose
the biggest
tail.
I've ever seen is about a 12.5-footer.
12.5, 13
That's,
foot.
And that was
because we based that
huge.
On the fact the boat we were in was 8 feet tip to tip. It was a little bitty boat. We were just barely big enough to fit in it. You know, a little bitty trolling motor on it.
Well, isn't it okay. like the inches between and the eyes and the nose tell you how long it is?
This thing was twice as big as the boat we were in.
Wow.
God knows. I remember watching swamp people and watching them, you know, pull out these monster gators and thinking, I've seen that one. Oh, this was 15 feet. Oh, that could very well be the one. Who knows? It was that big. It was one of those, when you catch that gator, it makes all the papers big, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, well, we're safe because not only these little gators can get in this boat. That one could. That one just come up next to us and knock us out of the boat.
Jeez, no thanks.
Ooh. No, no, no.
And you, Big D?
My mom and I was 12. Mom and dad were gone. I was by myself at the house, and I stood in the mirror in the bathroom, and I stared
the
at
lights
myself.
Off?
No, I had the lights on, and I stared at myself, and I kept staring at myself, and I didn't blink, and I kept staring, and all of a sudden I turned into this weird creature. Okay, And that weirded me out, and I was like, "What was that?" And then I went outside. It was kind of lightly raining. Sun was setting. It was getting to where it was almost dark. And I was down throwing a Frisbee by myself into the road or something. And I went down on the road and got it. And there's some overhanging trees. And I reached down and I picked up the
Frisbee.
And I heard something go, "Derek." And I stopped and I froze and looked. There's no one around. I'm kidding. I made that part up. But I picked up the Frisbee. It was like a knife. I could have cut it with a knife in here. Picked up the Frisbee, and I just felt like there was something behind me. And I turned and looked, and I felt like it was running at me. And so I ran. And I ran as fast as I could, and I got home.
You ran so far away? You couldn't get away?
Yeah, I didn't make fun of your story. I didn't make fun of you and your little fish.
And dude,
your little fish.
I've been looking up the Pacific Barracuda. Yeah, they can get up to almost 7 feet, and they have an anal fin, which is just fun to read. I'm this many.
Yeah, you really are. You really, really are. All right, I got to get out of here. Anything else?
No. Patrick, anything you want to cover?
We're going to end on anal fin.
That's what
we're going out on.
Man, that's a really bad place to go out.
What? How could it be worse? I mean, anal fin's great. That's fun.
How's that work, actually?
I don't know. I've already closed the page. You can Google it yourself, though.
I'm not going to have that in my search history.
And I do. Anal fin. Hold on here. I'll Google it for you. Let me Google that for you.
I'm pretty sure that's right up there with the Ashley Madison search. People who've been used Ashley Madison and people who Googled anal fin. Did you make that list? Have you, Patrick, looked up who has been on AshleyMadison.com?
No, I have not.
Oh.
I do know that the record alligator in Louisiana was taken on Marsh Island, which is 10 miles from where my parents live.
How big was it?
19 feet 2 inches.
Holy cow. That's crazy.
Did you just send me?
I just sent you the, let me Google that for you. By the way, if anybody ever asks you questions like, hey, we get it all the time here at the radio station. People call up and they're like, hey,
what's the third largest city in America?
And they'll do stupid stuff like that. And we're like, I don't know. Let me Google it for you. There's actually a website called Let Me Google That For You. And you can Google it and then copy the link it sends you back. And what it does is it shows you Googling it for them.
And it says, is that so hard?
Was that so hard? Let me Google that for you. The best.
I think anal fin should be the name of your softball team next year.
No.
That's a pretty good name for a punk rock band, though.
Anal fin.
Think about that. That's pretty good.
Anal fin is a great
Yeah, coming up right after the Dead Monkees, we have anal fin.
Are you saying anal fin? No. Yeah.
Anal fin.
It's a fish part, jerko.
There are Dirty cows. Okay. All right. So that's good. We're going to end on anal fin. Bring it back.
All right. Before we do, I do want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Guitar Center. They have nothing to do with selling those. They don't sell those at all.
No, they don't.
All they sell
but
is...
But a band who's named that might use them. Yep.
All they sell at Guitar Center is the greatest feeling on earth. All right, I think we're done.
Thank you. Thank you, boys. Hit it anytime. There you go.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay.
Sing it, Scott.
You can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Love you. Love you lots.